Federal Parliament resumes today against the backdrop of another disastrous news poll for the Morrison government and the fallout from the devastating result in the weekend by-election in the state seat of Wagga Wagga. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian is blaming the 30% plunge in the Liberals' primary vote on a combination of a local corruption scandal and last month's leadership chaos that engulfed the Federal Party.
The timing of the by-election, which coincided with other major events, other major political events, could not have been foreseen. It was the perfect storm. So the disenchantment people feel was redoubled by obviously the actions of the former member, but also by the actions of what happened at other levels of government. There's no doubt that did have an impact.
Premier Gladys Berejiklian, who says the biggest issue in the by-election was the collapse in voter trust in the Liberal Party. It's a difficult week ahead for the Morrison government, which has not just seen its majority disappear on the floor of the House of Representatives until the Wentworth by-election is held, and perhaps then too, but it's also facing the loss of up to 30 seats at the next election if the polling numbers in today's news poll are to be believed. Finance Minister Matthias Cormann joins me in the Parliament House studios. Minister, welcome back to breakfast.
Good to be back.
The state by-election was the first electoral test for the Liberals since you helped change the Prime Minister. You've just been smashed. The Liberals in state level have been smashed in Wagga Wagga. Your support has crashed in the news poll. These are the transactional costs of dumping another Prime Minister, aren't they? Do you have any regrets about what you did?
Well, I mean, in relation to Wagga Wagga, I mean, I think it's very clear that the previous member had to resign under a serious cloud and in the circumstances combined with a very popular local independent running. I'm not surprised by that result at all. I mean, you know, inevitably you get swings against long-serving incumbent governments at by-elections. I mean, clearly the federal dynamics in recent weeks wouldn't have helped. There's no question about that. But the most significant factor, I would have thought, that when you have an incumbent member being forced to resign under a corruption cloud, I don't know that anyone can really credibly point the finger at the federal sphere as the major reason for that result.
Well, when the Premier says trust was the biggest issue in the campaign and, quote, voters are so disappointed, so angry and so disheartened at the way politicians conduct themselves, you can't credibly claim that it's not a few points might have been lost because of the chaos of you and your colleagues of the last few weeks.
Well, a local member being forced to resign over corruption allegations, which were admitted, clearly, I mean, of course voters would be very upset about that.
Do you have any real appreciation of how fed up people are with the kind of behaviour that we saw on display here a few weeks ago?
Well, look, I mean, in the end, we went through a difficult period. We had to make some judgments we now move forward. What Australians expect us to do is to work hard to keep Australia strong, to keep the economy strong, to keep Australians safe and to keep Australians together. And that is what we're doing.
You did make some judgments. And yet we learned last week the Australian economy grew in the 3 months to June at 3.4%, the fastest growth in almost 6 years. Economy was in good shape under Malcolm Turnbull. The coalition was closing in on Labor in the opinion polls. You were 49-51 just before the spill. Now you're facing an election wipeout with potential loss of 30 seats. The further we move away from those events, the less it seems to make sense. If you had your time over, would you do it again?
Well, it's actually very early days. I mean, let's just remind
ourselves.
Would
you do it again if you had your time over?
We've made the judgments. We are now getting on with the job. But I would just remind everyone that when we came into government in 2013, we inherited from the Labor Party, from the government that Bill Shorten was a senior member of, a weakening economy, rising unemployment, a rapidly deteriorating budget position. And as a result of the hard work of the Abbott government and the Turnbull government, which is now going to be built on by the Morrison government. The economy now is stronger, employment growth is stronger, the unemployment rate is well below it was anticipated it would be, and the budget is in a much stronger position. So we're getting on with the job, and the Australian people expect us to get on with the job.
I know you're not keen to look in the rear vision mirror, but I still think the Australian people are at a loss to know what it was about. What was the judgment you and your colleagues made?
I have actually explained that many, many times. I'm happy to indulge you one more time.
Great, thanks.
Very clearly, when a leadership ballot was called, taking the party room by surprise on the Tuesday, it crystallised a level of angst among our colleagues in the party room. And in subsequent days, it became clear that the leader at the time had lost majority support in the party room, which was ultimately borne out in the party room meeting that took place on the Friday. We've now elected appointed a new leadership team in Scott Morrison and Josh Frydenberg, and all of us are getting behind Scott Morrison and Josh Frydenberg to unite the team, to unite the government, and to get on with the job of building on the achievements of the Abbott and Turnbull governments to keep the economy strong, to keep Australians safe, and to keep Australians
safe. So
together.
It was an unhappy team. It wasn't about any policy, nothing about that affects the lives of Australians.
Well, the most important job of any leader is to ensure that the team is strong, united.
I
believe, and clearly the party made a judgment, that Scott Morrison and Josh Frydenberg were in the best position to unite the team moving forward. And I believe that we will be a stronger, more united, more effective government into the future.
There will be a no-confidence motion in Peter Dutton over the au pair saga. Tony Burke has signalled that. Labor will try to refer him to the High Court over his eligibility to sit in the Parliament. He will battle to retain his seat at the election. Dixon, he holds by 1.6%. Do you think Peter Dutton's prime ministership hankerings are over?
Well, Peter Dutton won a seat of the Labor Party back in 2001, and he has held it at every election since, including elections where we lost government. It's always been a marginal seat, and the people of Dixon have continued to express their trust and confidence in him at subsequent elections ever since 2001. So I'm confident that Peter Dutton is going to be a very strong and effective local campaigner when it comes to holding the seat of Dixon for the Liberal Party. Now, we've got a lot of work to do between now and the next election in the first half of next year.
Should he still harbour leadership ambitions, in your view?
Well, he's a member of the leadership team. We have, as a party, made a decision that Scott Morrison and Josh Frydenberg are best equipped to lead our team moving forward. We are all getting behind. We are all strongly behind Scott Morrison and Josh Frydenberg as our leadership team.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is Finance Minister Matthias Cormann. Labor's got new legal advice casting doubt over thousands of ministerial decisions that Peter Dutton's made. Is it now a matter of urgency for his eligibility to be cleared up once and for all?
Well, his eligibility is clear. The Solicitor General has provided very clear advice that he is eligible.
And the former
long-serving Solicitor General David Bennett QC also provided unequivocal advice that Peter Dutton is eligible to sit in the Parliament. I mean, the Labor Party relies on advice from lawyers who told us for a very long time that there were no problems with citizenship issues on the Labor side.
Well, the Solicitor General said Barnaby Joyce was in the
group. And indeed, what Labor has released today is actually an answer based on the wrong question. I mean, to ask the question, if this happens, then that could happen. That's like saying if Bill Shorten lost his seat in Parliament at the next election, he couldn't possibly run for Prime Minister. I mean, to suggest that if he was ineligible, then this is the consequence. Well, he is eligible. He's not ineligible. So the whole question and the whole premise of the question that Labor put forward is completely false.
A consequence of the leadership coup is a number of Liberal women coming forward to say they've been bullied or threatened or intimidated within your party. Senator Lucy Gachui says she's prepared to name names.